Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
3 days a week.
Doing our best, you know? Content. Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing our best. This is our first remote episode.
In a very long time. The last one we recorded, I was actually on the way to the airport. I was in an Uber doing it.
Oh, that must have been a fun Uber.
It was horrible for both my girlfriend and the Uber driver, I believe.
But anyways, we're going to be kicking things off today, looking at some of the Clippers' other best seasons. We kind of unanimously, with the votes of Clipper Nation, decided on Wednesday's episode that there's not really a better season than this one thus far, than the 19-20 season. Top to bottom, that's safe to say, right?
I don't know about top to bottom because the bottom is still a little open. I think it gets the benefit of the hype. I think that's what the season is. But I agree, it could absolutely shape up to be the best season ever.
So we're going to be talking about a couple others in that one. And then we've got, I mean, what is this? Like, what are we even calling these? Are we calling these docisms? Are we calling these like a canned response?
Docktails, like DuckTales, I guess, is kind of what I thought.
I like it. We got some DuckTales about small ball possibly coming soon. We'll tell you what we think about that.
Heard it before.
As well as if it's coming and what that could look like.
Yeah.
We are excited to break that down. And then we've got a shavings, which basically just 2K updates, right?
Pretty much just 2K updates. And then tonight when we're recording this was supposed to be the last Clippers versus Lakers matchup of the season. For the regular season, so we're going to be making our fake predictions.
Yikes, that hurts.
So we're going to be making our fake predictions for what would happen in that one.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then we've got a Love, Marry, Quarantine for you. So all and more coming up right about now.
So, yeah, we're picking our kind of personal favorite seasons. Not necessarily the best seasons in Clippers history. One of the fantastic things fans can do is pick a season that might be remembered as horrible or not the best, but you know, have love for it on the whole. So we're doing that with our Clippers this year. A lot of, you know, fun slash not the most effective seasons to choose from out there, and obviously recently with some fantastic ones that you could take your pick from too. Will, you went the way of the good season. What is your personal pick for the best Clippers season?
I mean, for me, and I've made allusions to it previously, but 13-14 for me has got to be that line of both the performance was great, but like just the expectations and the feeling for that one. I just got to be honest, like it just felt more real
the shift
than any other time. Yeah, than any other time for me as a Clippers fan. And you got a bunch of factors going into that season. I mean, that was the first year with Doc in the head coaching position. So that definitely was like a huge move. And then Blake Griffin, one of the best years of his career. He had he averaged 24, 10, and 4 a game. Chris Paul averaged 19, 4, and 11 while adding nearly 3 steals a game. He averaged 2.5. It was like, it was a solid Jamal year for the bench, and then Redick was, you know, like Redick was phenomenal too in shooting.
Redick did.
Yeah.
No, the inside outside game of this 13-14, it was like it clicked so fast. Like I tweeted out, there was some footage I think Caron Butler shared of when DeAndre and Blake and a bunch of the Clippers found out they were getting Chris Paul. And like immediately Blake is like talking about Lob City and they're like talking about all the oops they get. And like that style of basketball, when you have a player like Chris Paul running the show, clicks so fast when you have guys who are Blake and DeAndre. Like it truly is just the perfect combination for that inside outside game to work so quickly.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting because it's not that it doesn't feel like that long ago, but basketball looked different. You know, yeah. We were 5 possessions per game slower than we were currently. But interestingly enough, the offensive rating is pretty similar. So like we were still delivering on that front. And defensively, the numbers were good. I guess I don't remember it as being necessarily, other than Chris Paul, like as defensively rounded or built of a team as this year's, but I'll give them the benefit
definitely
of the doubt.
Well, that's where, because when we compare kind of even our personal picks for this season, like yours especially, because you picked like a good season, you look at it in the context of what's happening with this team right now, and the defense is just so incredible on this current squad. On the bench, too, there's guys who can help out and stuff like that, you know, theoretically. We got some bodies down there. That it really does, like, I said in the kind of the opening that, like, this season kind of gets the benefit of the hope for, mm-hmm. I think, being picked for best season ever, which that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it's hard to kind of refute that. But, yeah, like, the biggest thing is just the defense. It is a more well-rounded team than this one was. All, you know, granted, we haven't seen this. The 13-14 team still had, like, the chemistry. It wasn't, you know, as toxic as maybe it got or didn't get towards the end of Lob City.
I mean, yeah, it was.
So it was still like the good times, and they didn't have to deal with as much expectations as like the current team does in terms of like super team-ness.
Definitely. They were like closer to a dark horse team even still. Even performing as well as they did. And, you know, they came up against the Thunder, and that's, you know, that's going to be a tough go in the second round.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. That was, oh man, NBA TV was replaying some old Clippers games, and they did all the good ones, and then they did that one Rockets game, and I think Ralph had a funny tweet where he was like, he like retweeted their scheduled tweet about it, and he was like, well, time to turn the TV off now. no reason to watch that one. But no, I think 13-14, that's a super solid pick.
What do you got?
I talk about this season a bunch, and I just, the 17-18 season is my personal like favorite, not even necessarily like from an existential standpoint. I think it's one of the best seasons in Clippers history.
I agree. I think in terms of lore, this will be one.
Yeah, like it's a season you look back on and you kind of see that like maybe the new grit was born. This season there was a giant move, obviously.
Yeah.
It was the true complete end of Lob City, and the new kind of grit. Yeah, it started this season. Like the Lou Will career reset happened. Trez's net rating kind of gave an image of what was to come. He was like plus 15 or something on the year, despite playing not very much. Bev and Gallo get hurt immediately, so you kind of have the Clippers curse thing right there. And like Tobias emerges, we get Boban. It was just such an incredible, like, goofy ass in the lore of goofy ass seasons. It's up there with some of like the best, I think, of any NBA franchise for sure. Like,
yeah.
This team was 8th in offensive rating and was 42-40. It's like Milos was getting minutes. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's such a funny season to look back on.
Yeah, I agree. And it was, I mean, yeah, it laid the foundation
For the mentality of where we're at now. Like, and you can actually, if you look at some of the stats, you can kind of see the play styles there. Like, this team was top 5 in free throws attempted. The teams mm-hmm. that playing them were like last in how many, you know, that's usually the game that they fouled the most people. And yeah, they were 2nd in free throw attempts. And however, 26 in free throw percentage. So the strategy was there, but the execution just not so much. So yeah, like you saw, and they were 9th in points scored. Like you saw Doc. There's these times when people pretend or forget that Doc is not a great coach. And this was around time when that was happening, I think, when people were kind of like, this was going to be the season where Clippers fans who had a problem with Doc, if things were going to go bad, obviously it would have made sense if this team would have won less games than 42. But I think...
Well, also, I mean, I think even for Doc, though, I mean, he had to realize that, you know, like what he had come into in a coaching situation was completely gone. There was no semblance of it. And I wonder if in your mind, it's kind of like, well, who knows how much longer I'm going to be here. Like, let's throw some stuff at the wall and see what happens.
Yeah, you definitely saw him get a little more creative in this season because he had to. This was another season where I think they set the record for the most different starting lineups used because there was a bunch of, like, Avery Bradley played, like, I think, like, 8 games or something in the season. Maybe it was 11. But, like, you saw him, try new things. Like, it was just such... It's a season that if you had just kind of started...
He had hummus for the first time.
yeah. He was like, this is it. We got it. Everyone had hummus for the first time in 2017, right? this was just... This was such a special season from the standpoint of, like, there wasn't as long of a hangover as people thought there was going to be from Lob City in terms of an identity or what the goal was moving forward. Because they could have tanked.
Oh, totally.
Like, if you look at the schedule, this schedule also is so weird. This team played 2 back-to-backs against the same team within, like, a month of each other. They, like, played the Timberwolves away and home within, like, 4 days of each other. And then, like, 4.5 weeks later, played the Kings away and home back-to-back. Like, that's the weirdest shit. But, yeah, like, I don't know. This one definitely holds kind of, I guess, like, a weird soft spot in my heart for so many storylines started and kind of ended. You look at Lob City, like you look at DeAndre averaged a double double this year for the Clippers, but it was one of those double doubles where looking back on it, you're like, the 12-10 was like kind of a like
empty.
Yeah,
calories.
Like you're like, okay, and like he wasn't like it's really cool to look at just from a market and like difference in kind of the league too, even though it wasn't really that long ago.
And even as a fan, like those first. I mean, you and I were both on the same page. Like, watching the Trez minutes, like, he was just such, like, a burst of energy.
Yeah, he brought the energy. I never thought he'd turn into what he is now.
I was going to say, there's no way that I don't think there's any way you could have foretold that he became as pivotal and, like, the player that he is now. But it was, you know, like, it was clear that there was something there.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, shit. Like, all right, like, this could definitely be a thing. Yeah, and then you saw him and Lou, like, in their brief time when they would be able to kind of flash together. It was great. Trez started 3 games this season, which is pretty funny. But, yeah, there's a lot of – I would love to hear if any older Clippers fans are listening, if you have any – memories from those teams that definitely weren't as good as 42 and 40 or anything like that. If you guys want to share those, hit us up at Locked On Clips. Any other seasons that stick out? I mean, the Shade time, like last season was great too. Like,
I mean, yeah, we've kind of talked about a bunch throughout the week. So if you haven't already, go ahead and check those couple of episodes out. And yeah, like Blake Charles said, please let us know if you think we missed one. It's kind of interesting. We've been talking about it that like, most of the, I mean, quote unquote, best seasons are skew a little recent.
Yeah, I would, safe to say they skew a little recent. And if you want to go as far back as the Buffalo Braves, you can go ahead and pick a crazy one that has some interesting stats if you can find those stats.
Oh, please let us
know.
That
would
be
awesome, actually. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking Doc's another promise of small ball from Doc when basketball returns. But first, in case you haven't noticed, sports have come to a screeching halt. Everything's been the same.
Wait, what? I thought it was normal.
With basketball benched and pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie aren't going to let you down. Ooh, I wish this rhymed the whole time. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home. The fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. You are not alone. Video poker not your thing, but still need a fix? They've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right. They have professional dealers at their tables live on site. Your favorite squad sidelined because of the pandemic? Don't even sweat it. MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets, if that's your thing.
Yikes.
You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag, use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all capital letters, one word, for 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive 150% cash bonus on your first deposit. You can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750.
Wow.
One more time, LOCKEDONNBA. Thank you so much for listening. Coming back for this, small ball coming soon.
All right, so we've heard some talk.
There was a fantastic Athletic piece, support your local Athletic writer, and it was talking about, one of the quotes that was pulled was Doc Rivers talking about how he would like the Clippers need to get smaller at the five when they come back. This is something that has been said by Doc a bunch. It happened right when we got Marcus Morris. It happened with Jermichael Green. It apparently, when we're and we have to kind of define small ball, I think, too, because it's not like if we're playing with Trez, that's technically small ball, right?
No, I don't think that's what Doc's talking
See,
about.
That's what, so like, yeah, it has to be, it's a shooting five. So it's, yes, either Jermichael, it's basically the starting lineup with Jermichael at the five.
Or Morris at the five and an extra guard out there.
Yeah. So, but like, he's talked about this a bunch. This is kind of reaching the like Zoo's passing level of like, we hear this a bunch and like, we've literally seen it work before. But it, I don't know. Do you think it's actually going to stick after we get back from the break?
I mean, if they haven't practiced it, I don't really know what to expect there.
They're doing Zoom meetings, dude.
You know? it makes sense. I don't know how fans are going to respond if, you know, this means Ivica's time is getting cut even
that
more.
That was the first reply tweet was like, God damn it, let's Zoom it. It's, like, that made me laugh. Shout out to that person.
Yeah, so I don't know what that looks like. And also, I mean, you know, like we said, if there's only like these kind of two different permutations of the lineup small, I mean, are we truly gaining that much over having a more traditional center at the five?
Yeah, like how many minutes is it going to be to even make that big of a difference?
Yeah.
Because if Zoo's playing and 18 a game right now, and let's say we go small for 6 minutes a game, those are probably coming out of Zoo's
like
minutes.
Five closing minutes?
Yeah, like those are probably coming out of Zoo's minutes, right?
Probably.
I don't think he would take him out of Trez's late in, like, with what's going to happen when the like game comes back. I think it goes back to that practice time thing.
Oh, agree.
Of like, when are these guys going to have run these? Like, Jermichael, I'm less worried about just because maybe there's a little more continuity from last year, at least in knowing the plays and stuff like that. But like, Morris, it's like, I don't know where the time is for him to get comfortable enough for me to be like, in, like, say it's the Western Conference Finals and we're going small, and it's like, oh, yeah, this is going to go good. Like, we've seen this enough to be okay with it.
Well, and yeah, my thing is too, if we're looking at a truncated or abbreviated playoffs, I mean, like, how much time is there to really experiment with this? I think, you know, we've heard things of like the sliding five. I don't know. We've just talked about small ball so much. And even against other kind of small ball teams, it seems like we've been more effective just kind of doing our thing.
Yeah, like every quote after every game against a team with a small identity, after we win, I'm looking at you, Rockets, is like, yeah, the Rockets play their game. I think it was Paul George who was like, yeah, the Rockets play their game, the Clippers play the Clippers game. Like, we fully expected our preview for that Rockets game that we did with Gatlin over at Locked On Rockets 2. We all kind of thought that it was going to go small versus small.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of, he called the Trez thing for sure. But other than that, yeah, I fully expected to see us maybe try and outshoot him. But I think we weren't... I don't know. I think they must be just doing film study about it or something, because I can't imagine they're walking through stuff. Because with how up and down the whole lineup's been, it's like I wouldn't imagine they're running sets. Or maybe they're just running sets with like Jermichael and Morris together to be like, get comfortable with you two playing next to each other at the four and the five.
And I don't know. I think it's interesting. I don't know how much of an improvement it is, I suppose.
Yeah, from like a...
I like the idea.
And I think Doc really likes the idea too. And I think it goes like the same thing as Zoo's passing. It's like the idea, you're like, yeah, this would be...
Yeah, that'd be great.
This would be great.
That'd be cool.
And like he's acknowledging it that like that was the verb that was used, that like he's, you know, they're going to do it and all this stuff, but... Yeah, man, I don't know about it. I guess, what's your most comfortable small ball lineup that you could kind of just think of, just off the top?
Like if we're not counting Trez.
Yeah, the shooting five, let's call it.
I guess, all right, well, you know, like Morris has had kind of up and down play with us thus far, so it's really hard for me to evaluate his performance, but I'd almost say... regular lineup, toss Landry in there, and Morris either moves to the five, or if Jermichael has the hot hand or is just looking better all around, Jermichael at the five, and then you're shaking things up more. But
yeah,
that's kind of what I'm most comfortable with. I don't know if I love the fit of Jermichael and Morris next to each other. But I don't know. What do you think? I could definitely be convinced the other way.
It kind of depends if I want to go offensive or defensive. Because, like, for me, it's like I know we have a really versatile team, but, like, if you kind of choose – I guess no matter what we choose for the five out, there's going to be a bunch of shooting. So it's, like, an offensive kind of heavy firepower lineup because you got – I think I'm fine with – Jermichael and Morris out there together. If Bev is having a good run of kind of the playbook, you know, like if he's having a good run of being like point Bev, I really like Bev out there as a, maybe the primary ball handler for sure, but also a guy who can, if he's shooting well, can kind of just catch and shoot too. If he's in that, you know, 40% range that he likes to hover around. I think I'm okay with that. Because, like, there's some, like, you can kind of kick some around with, like, Lou out there if you want to put, like, if you want to put, like, a really crazy shoot. But then you have, like, then you kind of put Paul George or Kawhi as the primary ball handler.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, it's these, and these other things, like, I don't even know if I want to try it right now. Like, we've run out of time to try this stuff, I think.
I mean, TBD.
Fuck.
It certainly feels like the room for experimentation is definitely shrinking. I don't know. I guess the reason I'm not wild about Lou in a small ball lineup, I just feel like we know what works for Lou, and I don't know that having him out there,
because he's like third option
in a lineup with that's already a little bit, I guess, exploitable at the five. To then have two kind of defensive pieces out there that are, I mean, maybe like
one of them for sure,
definitely less than ideal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's a good call. Yeah. So I think any lineup also with like. Sometimes I think I get too hyped on how much Kawhi and PG can cover for other people. Not saying they can't, but I don't necessarily want them to have to do it in a closing lineup type situation.
Yeah.
And so like totally. It should be like everyone should just know their jobs and stuff like that, and like that kind of like those easy things shouldn't have to happen. But the knowing your job thing goes to just being drilled on how to play with the guys in these formations. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say it's lip service because, like, I like it. Like, I love thinking about this team with small ball because everyone has fond memories of small ball lineups. Even when Gallo was here, we really wanted to see the meatball lineup and never really got it, despite it being crazy effective. But we got it with Jermichael. Do you think it maybe takes a weird first round or some like a drastic thing for it to happen?
And just even for my personal views, you know, like I'm talking about like just broad kind of lineups thus far, you know, that I think are good. If you're looking at more matchup specific stuff, I guess there's definitely situations out there where it would make more sense. And maybe that's what Doc's speaking to as well. Like maybe he has matchups in mind.
Yeah, they know him better now.
Although, you know, he says that he never is thinking about that kind of stuff.
No, he never thinks about anything other than the basketball game directly in front of his face. anything else on the small ball lineup before we get to these shavings in LMQ?
No, if anybody out there in Clipper Nation has any other alternative small ball lineups that they'd like to see, maybe we miss something or you like a tinkering with Lou in there or something, get at us at Locked On Clips, at Will Update, at Charles Mockler.
Hell yeah.
Coming up next, we have some shavings and a Love Mary quarantine for you.
Okay, welcome to shavings.
Hey, it's shaving.
So let's do the tonight, sadly, was supposed to be the last Clippers versus Lakers matchup of the year. I'm recording this on April 9th. What is your what's your fake prediction for this game? What happened in this game? What post game are we recording right now at 1 a.m. in either of our apartments?
Well, it's raucous, I can tell you that.
We're faded. We're absolutely our press passes have been clipped at this point.
They've been cut in half. You know, there's definitely been not a brawl, not that serious, but some sort of brouhaha.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And the Clippers have managed to take home the series. Because there's no ties in basketball.
None.
And I think that they close this one out 129-119.
Smoked them. Doesn't sound like a very close game if we're putting up a $1.29. I like that.
You know, that's why I'm saying it was raucous.
Well, in this scenario,
it's one of those
too,
games where like it seems close until the last 5 minutes.
And this is the game too. This is their third in a back-to-back, I think, right? This was at their three in the row because of the reschedule. Yeah, I think we smack them.
I assume
them.
They drop a game. And
oh yeah, I guarantee you they drop a game. Yeah, I think we smack them. I think we get a nice 2-1-3 game. I think everyone who is not a Clippers fan. Or a Clippers player overreacts a bunch. I think we probably get a terrible Nick Wright soundbite where he's like, look, yes, Kawhi had 37, 12, and 6. However, he only played 27 minutes. Like, that would be a negative in his mind somehow. God, I miss basketball. Do yourself a favor. Go ahead and watch those highlights from the Christmas game if you want to go ahead and have a good time. Other shavings news is Bev and Trez played their 2K quarterfinals matchups tonight.
That's right.
Trez took down Derrick Jones Jr. and Bev came from behind to beat Andre Drummond. Bev was very excited. He was repping the Razorbacks very loudly on the stream. This, I hate to say it, I was not excited. I guess I don't hate to say it. I was not excited really for this 2K tournament, but it's giving me some nice reprieve. Like, it's nice to, like, Pat Bev is so competitive that
I was gonna say I love seeing the guys hyped up.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Hyped up.
It's like Bev is so competitive and like talks a lot of shit. So I'm like, oh, this is very similar to what it would be like if they were playing right now.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big video game guy, but
you just learned about video games the other week.
Yes, yeah, it was my first introduction.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, once again, I just love seeing the guys excited.
Yeah, if anyone has Google Stadia out there.
Oh, yeah, get at me. Like, is it good? I have pretty good internet, but let me know what the deal is.
I have pretty good internet.
I got good internet. What do you want?
Yeah, it's pretty good. But yeah, I hope both these guys far. Honestly, I think it's going to be a Bev. I think Bev's going to make it to the finals. I think he's going to win. I'm not sure about Trez. I just haven't seen that intensity there quite yet, but I'm sure it's going to come out. I may be putting too much into this. All right, let's get to this Love, Marry, Quarantine. It is Friday. Every Friday episode, we do a Love, Marry, Quarantine. Today, we are doing Stephen Ballmer's quarantine locations. Mm-hmm. It could literally be anywhere. Yeah, so we got a couple on here. We have he reestablished, now that he just made the purchase, he reestablishes the Forum Club, but he's just alone inside of it, a la Jack in The Shining. So it's all a right, bit of, it's him and a bunch of very famous ghosts.
To me, it's almost like it's like the Black Lodge from Twin Peaks, but he's just there.
The other one I had was the entire state of Rhode Island. He just rents it and pays for everyone else to take a 2-week vacation, just anywhere they want to go.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good one.
What? Then you have a good one on here. Before I do the last
there's
one,
there's Bev's house.
Oh yeah, Bev's house. I think is a fun time for Mr. Ballmer.
I think Frozen, and you can go any way you want with this. He's cryogenically frozen, a la an Austin Powers. He's cryogenically frozen, a la a Walt Disney. Maybe his head is cut off. They're gonna figure that out later.
Yeah, but he is frozen. He can't get sick. He's too cold.
He is frozen. Yeah, he's gonna sit this one out. I guess the Dr. Evil situation would make sense given that great Microsoft video where he is.
That's
Dr.
very
Evil.
True.
I think that he might be in space or another dimension.
Yeah, I think space pod is a good option. So which of these are you love marrying in quarantine?
I'm going to love... I'm loving the Forum Club.
I'm going to love that one too. That one seems fun. Doing a bunch of ghost cocaine.
I'm marrying Frozen the more I think about it.
I'm going to marry Space Pod.
Space Pod. I just love the logistics of it. I don't truly know what that looks like. I can't imagine it's comfortable for him.
No, see, I was thinking of Space Pod. Like, so Steve Ballmer has $40 billion that we know about, right?
We know of.
I think a space pod is like what your rich grandparents, that's what their RV to them is.
Got you.
Like,
yeah.
He has like a thing where his wife is like, he's always talking about the space pod. Like, we got the new TVs for it, but it's like, he doesn't even watch TVs. He drives. Like, what do we even need him for? And he's like, no, it's fun for guests. And she's like, we don't take guests on the space pods. Like,
there's
I think
no
it's that
guests
kind
on the space pod.
Yeah, I think it's all that right, kind of I, thing. But I like that. Like, I like envisioning them fighting about the space pod. And then which one are you quarantining?
I'm quarantining the entire state of Rhode Island. Yeah.
Logistically, it seems hard.
Logistically, it seems hard. Logistically, it seems irresponsible for the people of Rhode Island.
For sure.
Like, where are they supposed to vacation to? What if you don't want a vacation?
I mean, that's fair.
I don't want a vacation.
But I don't want to leave. That's fair. Yeah, I think I'm gonna quarantine that one too, actually. All right, so I guess we agree for the most part. Anything else in the shavings drawer?
No, I don't think so. Thank you out there to everyone who's still sticking with us.
Yeah, Clippers will be back.
The Clippers will be back. We do love talking clips. As we said throughout the pod, get at us at any point on Twitter at Locked On Clips. Charles, is there a number that if people wanted to reach us with, say, I don't know, a take that was hot, they could reach us at?
There is. It is 213-986-7354. Go ahead and leave your absolutely scorching takes there. Monday's episode, we're going to have the freshies talking about some new guys. We're going to be talking the best single season by a Clippers player next week, picking our favorites from the stat book. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, all those good places. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.